This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
What is the No Spin News all about?
You know that this is a fact-based analysis news program. You know that. We avoid speculation. We don't do conspiracies here. We don't do party politics here. We're not nonpartisan. That's wrong. Not that. Okay, we are advocates for a stronger America and a more just society. We don't believe in communism. We don't believe in socialism. We don't believe in nihilism. We don't believe in the progressive woke culture. We think it is un-American. We don't support that. So you should know what we are, and it would then crystallize what we do.
Listen to the No Spin News. Subscribe to Bill O'Reilly's podcast feed wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to Politics by Faith, part two of our exploration of the Apple Vision Pro and virtual reality and augmented reality. So I'm wildly against this stuff. I think it's a big problem, and I'm very much against it. We had three guests on our TV show. One of them we played the other day in our podcast here. Here I want to present to you the other two, who are kind of like, listen, maybe you agree with them, or they're just a bunch of normies who have no idea what's really coming, or they just don't, I don't know, they have a higher view of human nature than I do. They don't see the dystopian potentialities like I do. Maybe they're right and I'm wrong. I don't know. I hope they're just right. And I'm wrong on this one. So it's up to you. So enjoy these two interviews, and then we wrap up with a little bit of a Christian perspective on this issue. Hey, welcome back to our special here about the Apple Vision Pro, but it's bigger than that. This is just Apple's first foray into this jump here. It's really about artificial intelligence and how this will affect our entire society. Christopher Alexander is here. He's an AI expert. He's the chief analytics officer of the Pioneer Development Group. Christopher, how are you, sir?
Thank you.
Good to talk to you. I want to talk to you about how this will affect our economy and people's jobs specifically. But before we get to that, what are your thoughts on the Apple Vision Pro?
Well, you know, I think it's very early stage technology, and I think they're throwing it out to the faithful and then seeing how it works and then looking at how to miniaturize it. I think miniaturization is going to be the key, so you're, you know, not walking around with ski goggles on your face all the time.
Yeah. How small do you see it getting? But Elon just put a brain chip into someone's brain. So computer chip into someone's brain, so it could get pretty small, but it's just like anything, right? I mean, like, computers used to be the size of a warehouse and now they're minuscule. It'll be like that, right?
Exactly. I imagine they'll figure out a way to make the frame of the glasses, all of the computing technology would be where they'd move to. And just a matter of time, right? The more powerful the chip, the smaller it gets, the better this approach is going to work for Apple, I think.
That's amazing. What are the Apple Vision Pro people and developers focusing on when it comes to the Apple Vision Pro? What's their vision?
Well, you know, one thing industry-wide that's definitely happening is the use of AI. And, you know, to date, what AI is used for is going through massive amounts of data and finding those, connecting those dots that a team of human analysts may never be able to figure out. And, you know, what they were talking about in Las Vegas at CES this year is sort of the next wave, which is looking at all of your data. Granted, you're giving them permission to use this, but connecting all those dots in your personal life. So instead of a massive data model with millions or even billions of people, it's everything about you to help make better recommendations about where you might want to eat, go to vacation, or what you might want to buy in the future.
That's so wild, because the first thing I think we have a space for there is what you want to buy, right? So you clicked on this link once, and now the algorithm thinks you'll like this link. But that's whatever. Like, it's got to be more than just that, right? What else could this data possibly know about me and make my life, quote unquote, better?
Sure. Well, it looks at everything from when you like to buy things, which is probably more designed to help the company that wants to sell you something, but to those things that you don't know you like, right? So the latest generation of ad technology that serves you ads on the web, you know, they like to say, you know, when you look at Google search, that's what you're looking for. And what they're trying to do behind the scenes is combine all this data about you to figure out what you didn't know you needed. So maybe, for example, you start wandering at work with things you're looking at in your search history, or your sleep patterns change and they work out. That's when you really need a vacation. And the assistant may say, hey, you know, you should think about it. Here's some places to go, especially if you think of biometric data. AI is going to be moving into your automobile, looking at how you drive even and where you go. So just a staggering amount of data. And what's perhaps most interesting is AI systems are going to figure out what AI systems need to do because the problem is so complicated.
Okay, yeah, that last thing was pretty meta. So AI will be improving AI. That seems problematic to me eventually.
Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.
It can be. The big problem right now is what's called the black box. Those are the algorithms that govern any AI's operation. And those rules that are written that become algorithms are proprietary for good reason. They really are where the magic happens, if you will. So there's a real struggle right now about how to safely regulate that while also protecting innovation and companies' proprietary data. It's going to be a huge, huge challenge moving forward.
Who watching now needs to be the most worried about their job being replaced?
White collar workers who deal with large amounts of data, an actuary, a paralegal, people like that. You know, I would suggest if you're in those industries, the analogy is it's the 1970s and you're an auto worker in Detroit. The difference and the good news for people is, unlike the 1970s in Detroit, you couldn't, you know, in the 70s, they couldn't fly to Japan and go to the robotics factory and understand how the robotics was going to impact the assembly line and then learn to work with it, right? It just came and off they went. Anyone can learn how to work with AI right now. Log in, you got to give me your email address. I promise you they already probably have it. And you can figure out how to implement AI in your workplace. So it's not really coming to replace you, but it is going to make you more productive. And you're going to see one of two things, hiring freezes or reductions as a result.
Yeah, IBM first comes to mind, right? They said they were going to eliminate 4,000 jobs at IBM. And hopefully that's a wake up to like white collar workers. Like, wait, IBM, these aren't low wage assembly line workers who are getting cut. These are people like me. So hopefully people can see that. How can it help someone's job?
Well, depending on who you ask, which probably directly correlates to how much their particular firm is invested in an AI capability. The general number is about 30 to 40% improvement in productivity for white collar staff. So the way that you can really use it, internal communications, it's great to go through, make the AI goes through, looks at what you've written, make sure it's coherent, it's well-written, and so on and so forth. No professional student shouldn't be using it exclusively, but something like internal communications where you're worried about a typo in a corporate setting, it's gonna do that for you. It's an okay research tool. It certainly gets the basics and points you in the right direction. In a lot of ways, AI is like a calculator, but for writing and some research and thinking, which is to say, you got to know how it works. You got to know what the answer is so you can be sure you can trust it. But it's going to speed things up and make it a lot easier and free you up for higher level tasks.
We've only got about a minute. What's your dystopian future of this if we're not careful?
Well, the Air Force, and now they've said it didn't exactly happen that way, but they ran a test and they were looking to break it. I do want to make this clear. They were looking to find problems with the AI, but they gamified a drone being controlled by a human operator attacking targets. And they gave the AI a point for every target that it destroyed. The AI drone destroyed the targets that it was supposed to, and then noticed there were a series of other targets and wanted to engage the targets. The operator, the human operator, remember the AI didn't know whether this was real or not, said, no, there's civilian casualties that could be risked. This isn't a valuable target, against the laws of warfare. And the AI attacked the drone operator so that it could continue to score points. So they stopped the exercise, started again, and the AI engaged a second time. And when it got to that same problem, it couldn't kill the operator. So it proceeded to try to destroy the world's communication systems so it couldn't be told to stop. So AI already right now is like a sociopathic four-year-old that you teach to win games, very much like that movie War Games. And so we're kind of there. The good news is the Department of Defense, they have a policy. An AI capability can't take a human life. So there's some safeguards, but AI is basically, a four-year-old that will kill you to win.
Yeah. What will happen before we put a safeguard in real life? That is my concern. Because there'll be things that we never even would have thought of. That's my concern. Christopher Alexander, AI expert, chief analytics officer of Pioneer Development Group. Christopher, great to talk to you, sir.
Thank you.
We'll actually talk more coming up in our next segment about what this will look like in warfare with our next guest, Mike Slater, right here on the First TV. This podcast brought to you by the great Patriot Gold Group. Own physical gold. You can have it in your hands. It's wild. The FedEx guy just comes by your house and drops off an envelope and it's got gold in it. Like, what? You can really just have it? Well, for now, you can. There was a while in America where you could not. So why would you? Well, how do you think the economy's doing? Swell, I don't. Our national debt is $34 trillion. Even Putin brought that up the other day. $34 trillion. As debt goes up, price of gold goes up. As the economy is in terrible shape, gold may be all we have left. As we lose our reserve currency status, potentially, gold will be all the more important. Call Patriot Gold Group. See if this is a good thing for you to have. Call them before it's too late. Mention Mike Slater. Best-in-class service from Patriot Gold Group, people who share our values. You talk about a no-fee-for-life IRA, or your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you may qualify for a no-fee-for-life IRA and qualifying rollovers, or just own physical gold or silver. 888-617-6122. 888-617-6122 for a free investor's guide. Consumer Affairs, top-rated gold IRA dealer 7 years in a row. They're not kidding around there. 1-888-617-6122.
So I think this AI will be uplifting to the middle class because it's, in essence, the most expensive, most talented workers are people who have 20 years experience and know how to apply that. That's what AI does overnight.
Will this be good for the middle class? Carl Szabo is here, Vice President, General Counsel for NetChoice, and a professor of internet law at George Mason's Scalia Law School. Professor Szabo, how are you doing, sir?
Doing well, thank you.
I'm great for you here. So what does this do for our jobs here in America?
Yeah, I was reading about AI recently, and I read a couple of quotes, and they said, it will destroy truth, it will destroy an entire profession, and will destroy privacy. And the article actually wasn't talking about AI at all. It was talking about photography and photographs. And we have seen how photographs can be made to lie. We see it every couple of days. Famously, William Randolph Hearst said, you give me the pictures, I'll give you the war, which led us into the Spanish-American War. They'll destroy a whole profession. The concern then was the annihilation of painters. But what we've actually seen, because of photographs, we have a whole profession created called photography. And they'll destroy our privacy. Well, privacy changes all the time. We have multiple cameras pointing at us all the time. We actually kind of like it. So what we have seen then and what we are seeing now are basically the same concerns, just fast forwarded 100 years ago. Now, I'm not saying that nothing will change. In fact, AI will greatly change our society and the way we operate. But the wonderful thing is what we've seen time and time again is when new technology comes online, it creates more jobs than it takes away. And so really excited to get into that with you as we kind of digest how AI will change the landscape of the job market.
Yeah, let's do that. And then I want to actually pivot into how it'll help us or change how we fight wars too, because it will change everything. But when I first heard about AI, when it comes to jobs, someone told me, oh, it'll affect like radiologists. It just won't affect lower income people. It'll affect doctors and how doctors do their job. And we'll have no more need for radiologists to look at scans of cancer cells when AI can do it 1,000 times faster and more effectively. So who will the AI affect?
Yeah, I mean, it will affect almost everyone. Now, blue collar jobs are actually the ones that are most empowered by AI, because at the end of the day, we still need people to build houses. We still need electricians. We still need plumbers. We need people to actually do work. And the work is going to become more complicated, which requires more skilled people across the board. Now, when it comes to things like radiologists, so radiologists look at mammograms and cancer diagnosis, but they're not going to be eliminated either. Now, we've seen this time and time again. So I'm an attorney, right? So if you're a lawyer who doesn't know how to use a computer, well then, yeah, you're gonna be up a hill. And if you're a radiologist who doesn't know how to use AI, you're gonna be in the same position. We're not eliminating radiologists. We are eliminating radiologists who don't know how to use the new technology. And that's where the new opportunities lie. We need to actually begin training the skills. We need to begin teaching the ways to leverage the technology so that people can do more with less. So we're not gonna eliminate jobs. We're actually going to make people more efficient and allow them to do more using technology.
I'm totally with you for the next 0 to 15 years, but let's go 30 years out. Why have a radiologist? What's the point of even having any?
Yeah, and you know what? 30 years out, that profession may not be needed anymore. We don't have elevator operators today because we go in and we push a button and it takes us to the floor we need. We don't have carriage drivers because they've been replaced by cars. And you know what? A lot of people who used to have to work on the farm their entire lives don't have to do that anymore. Their kids can go off to college and do other things in their lives because of combines and things like that. So anytime a new piece of technology comes out, there will be job displacement over time, but it's not overnight. And the wonderful thing is, at the end of the day, people will find jobs. They do find jobs. And we are facing right now some of our lowest unemployment numbers in history. So if anything, we need to make it easier for people to find the jobs that they want and get out of the jobs that they're stuck in.
How will AI change how we fight wars?
Yeah. So one of the things that I really get excited about, not only is AI going to be just truly transformative for stopping things like cancer, inventing the new medication to kind of save our lives during the next pandemic, when it comes to AI and warfare, it's going to be truly instrumental. One of the things that AI is really, really good at is looking at tons of pieces of data and drawing connections. You know, kind of like imagine somebody from the movie A Beautiful Mind, where they've got all the pieces of paper with the lines of yarn and push pins. AI can make connections in milliseconds that we couldn't even comprehend. So think about trying to find Osama bin Laden. When it came to 9/11, we had the intelligence, we had the information, we just could not connect the dots to stop the terrorist attack, nor could we connect the dots to find him. AI can do that. And it will save lives. Similarly, in the war going on right now in the Middle East, Israel's Iron Dome, which shoots down incoming missiles from Hamas, that is done through artificial intelligence. That is done through calculations, where it's able to calculate incoming missiles and launch an intercept within milliseconds. We're putting that on our battleships, and this will save American lives if we are allowed to continue to develop and innovate it.
Yeah, if we have it first, I think it would be part of this exactly. If we're able to use it the best way. Okay, so you paint a rosy picture, Professor. Give me some negatives. Give me a dystopian view. Give me something bad that you think could be used. If we're not careful, we need to think about this.
Yeah, and everything needs to be done intelligently. So typically conversations devolve into AI is the Terminator or AI is racist. And fortunately, we have laws on the books today to address much of these concerns. artificial intelligence is heavily regulated today. I'll say that again. It's heavily regulated today. Hundreds, if not thousands, of laws today apply to artificial intelligence. Let's pick on illegal discrimination. So a lot of people are worried that there will be AI used for illegal discrimination in job selection. That is illegal today. It's illegal whether you do it as a person, an individual, or use a computer. And that's where we have laws that just need to be applied to artificial intelligence. With respect to the Terminator scenario, perhaps maybe we don't connect artificial intelligence to our nuclear arsenal. That's a way to prevent that potential outcome. And then when it comes to regulating artificial intelligence, one of the worst things that we can do is outlaw it, stop it, or pause it. We're seeing calls, whether it's from the president on down in Congress and at the state level, to pause development. And all that means is that the United States will not have this technology, but all the bad actors, because bad actors don't follow the law, will have this technology and they will weaponize it against us.
Yeah, that's definitely true. All right, Carl Szabo, lots more to talk about. We'll do it again. He's vice president of NetChoice, and he's over at the wonderful George Mason Law School. Professor, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, very interesting there from the professor. I've never called for banning this, to be clear. All I want us to do is to go in with eyes wide open and for us all to make a decision, to make a wise decision about whether you want to be in. I want us to be intentional. On my podcast, Politics by Faith, a couple weeks back, we talked about Jonathan Edwards and his 70 resolutions for his life. And one of them was to examine carefully and constantly what that one thing is in me which causes me in the least to doubt of the love of God and direct all my forces against it. So I just love the like constant thinking, evaluating, examining, and then finding a thing. And so it's like being intentional, but then putting all my forces against it, right? If you don't like it, if it's bad, I'm out. And I just want us to have that intentionality and to not think that, oh, it's new, it's shiny, okay, without considering, is it good? And is it right? And should I be using this? A lot of people are like, oh, you conservatives, you're just so scared of this. No, I'm not scared. I'm repulsed. Or it's like a revulsion. I've Walter Kern, I think, called it a spiritual gag reflex, right? I'm just, oh, this is bad. I don't want this. Again, maybe good things. Sure. But all tech comes at a cost. They all come at a cost. And I just want us to be aware of the costs. I can't imagine how bad AI could be. Maybe some of us can. And that's why we're out. But it's up to you. Which way are you going to choose? Politics by Faith, First TV.
Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.